Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive, and we're on location today, special location here. We are at Bunkers downtown here on West Glen. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn is alongside as well, as we're here on the eve of the first meeting on campus between Auburn and Oklahoma. These teams have played twice before, both in Sugar Bowls. So this will be the first time that these teams have met on campus. It'll be Oklahoma's first ever SEC road game. And both teams coming off season conference opening losses last week. So, I mean, a big, big ball game for both. But, hey, we're excited to be here at Bunkers. I had not been in here before. Honestly, since I retired, sort of avoid the traffic of campus an awful lot, but man, this is worth getting into, and they've got plenty of parking underneath here on Uncommon anyway.
All right, we've partnered with Bud Light to do some live broadcasts around town, and that's why we are thrilled to be here at Bunkers, one of our new anytime we can be downtown, especially on a big weekend like this. Coach Dunn was just talking about how big this weekend feels with the. With Oklahoma making its first ever visit. I was warned when Auburn drew Oklahoma a couple of years ago in this first expansion year of the SEC. I was warned that Oklahoma, when they visit a town for the first time, especially a place with some tradition like Auburn, they bring tens of thousands of Auburn fans, or tens of thousands of fans to town. And I feel like there's a lot of Auburn fans that are making the trip, the pilgrimage back this weekend. And so this should be – we thought it might be the busiest weekend of the season at home.
Right. Well, we had thought this was probably the most attractive home game, the biggest home game on the schedule for Auburn. And with it being the first SEC road game ever for Oklahoma, there's an awful lot of Oklahoma fans here in town. And, man, this ball game is very, very big. I mean, I mentioned the fact that both teams lost last week. That just means this one means even more, because you start 0-2 in conference play and you've dug yourself a deep, deep hole.
Exactly, Bill, and especially if you have to go on the road. So big game for both teams, like you said.
It's two programs that aren't used to being 0-2.
Right.
I mean, you think about historically, like I wonder how many 0-2 in conference play starts Oklahoma has had in the last 20, 25 years.
I'm wondering how – well –
I wonder how many Auburn's had.
I'm thinking, they had a couple of really – they had a few really bad years after the Switzer days.
Mm-hmm.
But that meant about the only time because I mean, because, you go back and before Barry Switzer, I don't know that Oklahoma – I can never recall Oklahoma in their Big 8 days or moving to the Big 12 getting off to slow starts in conference.
Yeah, they've always had a great tradition and winning program. And like you said, I don't know – that's interesting how, looking that up, if both teams have ever been 0-2.
Auburn's had a couple 0-8, so I know Auburn's been 0-2 before, but it's unfamiliar.
Right.
And I'd say that the word is unfamiliar. The loser of tomorrow's game is going to be in the unfamiliar, and you've been in these meetings, Coach.
Yep.
How about uncomfortable
very,
position
very,
of being
very
of being 0-2 to start this season?
And
I mean,
it's hard. It's hard on everyone.
We've talked a lot about how badly Hugh Freeze needs to collect a couple of wins in these next four games You could say the same thing about Brent Venables, right?
When he's in his third year.
He's in his third year, and this schedule is really tough.
19-11,
and he's got a tough. I believe a loss tomorrow would drop him to 500 overall in conference as Oklahoma coach, and he has. He has partially because he lost, you know, some conference games that first year,
right?
That he was there, but it's still if Venables drops that game tomorrow, you know, you start forecasting the rest of the season for them.
Well, their schedule is so tough. Yes. I mean, Auburn appears. I mean, when you just look at their schedule right now, Auburn may be as winnable a ball game as they have left in conference play. Maybe South Carolina. But, I mean, up to this point, South Carolina's played pretty darn well, but everybody else they play is nationally ranked as far as SEC teams.
Yes.
So this is a big ball game for them. They can't afford to lose this one with the schedule they have ahead in conference. But
probably the most winnable road game on the schedule for Oklahoma is the game they play tomorrow where they're a slight favorite. I wonder how many more times they're going to be a slight favorite in their other three. Where do they? They go to Columbia, Missouri, I believe, is I know that Baton Rouge is on that list. I
mean, that's right.
I mean, some tough home games, some tough road games for Oklahoma on the draw. So this is a I mean, it's tough to overstate how important this game is. Just because neither of these coaches are really in position to absorb another loss without things getting uncomfortable, like we say. You know, that's the word that I would keep coming back to.
Yes, we'd love for you to join us here at Bunkers Downtown. If you can't make it out, give us a call, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box. That's presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast available. However, you listen to podcasts. Bill, we've been mentioning it all week. Tonight at Bunkers, the putt your way to 10K championship round is getting started. You know, it's after we get done.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, you're gonna want to come out tonight and see the finalists competing to book their ticket. 8 p.m. is when they're getting started here at Bunkers, and you're not going to want to you're not going to want to miss that tonight.
Yeah, and you know, Don, you were talking, and when I came in, I mean, how cool it is. I mean, we're right next to the simulations. You got golf driving and baseball hitting simulators right here. As a matter of fact, all in one right here.
7 p.m. the start time tonight, by the way. They had to adjust some times this week because of the weather. Tonight's thing is getting started at 7, so we're happy to lead up to tonight's putt your way to 10K championship. And you guys are right. This place is really, really cool.
It's nice.
Happy
plenty
to,
of TV.
Man, there's so much more space than I thought when I first came in.
It's in the ground floor of Uncommon, the apartment complex, very, very close to college and Glenn.
Oh yeah,
and just a short walk from downtown.
I'm glad when I was in college I didn't have a bar at the bottom of my dorm.
I had enough trouble getting out. Yeah,
tell you
place.
What, pretty good kitchen too.
Oh man,
dangerous combination.
Beautiful place.
We'll get you guys a menu, show you some of the cool stuff they got going on here too. And again, thanks to Bud Light for setting us up here.
Again, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on any of the ball games going on this weekend. We'll take a look at all the games around the SEC and more. Coach, now that we've got you in here, I mean, we haven't had a chance to talk with you on the air since last Saturday's ball game. Another game, a lot of similarities in that one, sadly, and the Cal loss. 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions, and that's almost impossible to overcome against any team who is competitive.
Yeah, watched every snap. Very frustrating. Continue to turn the ball over, and we're not getting enough. We did have some, but not as many as we need. And like you said, Bill, when you turn the ball over 4 or 5 times a game, I don't care who you're playing, it is tough. And I thought Arkansas probably played their best game of the year, and got to bounce back. I think we need tomorrow. Because looking at Oklahoma's stats and, you know, whatever that means, they're not very good on offense.
No, they're very good defensively.
Yes, they are good.
But they
on
have really struggled offensively. Yes. And the thing that is even crazier, you wonder how much they're going to want to try to throw the ball
with a
tomorrow.
Freshman.
Well, with a freshman, and now, I mean, the SEC availability report, when a player is listed as out, he's out. That means he's not going to play. Their top five receivers are all out tomorrow. So you're coming in with a true freshman quarterback playing in his first road game.
A hostile crowd.
And without your top five receivers, you know, this one has all the earmarks of what you might expect had the weather been bad here. It's hard for me to picture this being a fairly high-scoring ball game. It just seems like this is going to be pretty low-scoring.
I wonder how much Oklahoma wanted to throw anyway with a new quarterback coming in and making his first career start, especially a true freshman quarterback making career start number one on the road. But you don't I mean, you want him to have every weapon available, and when you're talking about five, you have a five the top five receiving options not being available. That is a
They haven't run the ball very well either, though, Dan.
No. They're going to have to. Well, I think part of the reason they're making the quarterback change is hoping that maybe Hawkins Jr. can provide a little spark. They were running it more with Arnold in the two games before making the switch,
right?
Because I think they were trying to find something. I know Arnold. I think he ran for 100 yards in the Tulane win, but still, it's like they've been looking for answers offensively, and now they have to do it without. Without their top options at receiver.
What's really interesting is I was hearing an Oklahoma scout talking about this and saying, hey, Michael Hawkins Jr. is not a guy who wants to run, though. He would rather run around and find a receiver. He's not a guy that wants to just keep it and run. So even though he's athletic, very athletic, I think was ranked the number three dual threat quarterback coming out of high school last year, it's because of his athleticism, not because he is a guy that really likes to run the ball. So, I mean, we'll see tomorrow.
Auburn's offense struggled to contain Dampier from New Mexico on a couple of plays, too. And, I mean, that's something where I just wonder.
You know, I think Auburn's going to play a much different defense than they did against New Mexico.
What they can't do is do what they did against Cal, which is overly conservative, worried about the deep ball, and so you give receivers a big pad right at the line of scrimmage, because what Cal did was they got out of the quarterback's hands quickly, and it was, and especially in that first half, it was second and four or second and three over and over and over again, and that I mean, Auburn has to try to win first downs and get this quarterback who's in unfamiliar territory as a starter on the road as a true freshman. You got to get him into troublesome second and now you got to close on those second and third downs too.
Yep, and Auburn's had a lot of pressure, but quite a few of those times they haven't been able to go ahead and seal the deal there with the sack.
Coach, they got to stop diving at feet.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's not one player.
Right.
I feel like we've seen multiple. They're so eager to make the sack. They're so eager to make the big play.
Yeah,
but when you dive and miss, and you're reaching at shoelaces.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, if you've taken yourself out of the play almost, and that's, I mean, what was your sort of pursue the quarterback advice?
Well, I always told them, you know, like we talked last week, you got to tackle with your eyes. I know that sounds crazy, but you got to keep your head up for one thing. You can't leave your feet. You have to run through the target and wrap up. And something like you said, a lot of times kids want to make that big, massive hit, and
they want to get on SportsCenter.
Yeah, and they're out of control. And they miss the tackle. And it's also a gang tackling. You got to get the second and third man there. Even if you just wrap him up, just wrap up and wait for your buddies.
And there's value in even just making the quarterback feel your presence, right? Without necessarily getting a hand on him.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, anything you do to disrupt his process downfield.
It's all about keeping him contained, keep him in that what we always talked about, a box, four squares, keep him in there. And, you know, and like you mentioned last week, which is a great, great observation, even if you don't get the sack, you need to be trying to strip at that ball and get your hands up. There's so many – see, we've made so much out of a sack that you miss sacks. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you miss play. You miss just making plays, tackles.
Yes.
because you're going for it. It's sort of like
hitting a home run,
right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge That's a huge thing that I feel like you've seen develop in the NFL mm-hmm. over the last decade or so. Is now when a defensive lineman is anywhere near a quarterback with the ball, it's not about getting the highlight reel hit that the bone rattling hit or anything. They're trained to go for the ball. You are right. Trained to if you've got the drop on the quarterback mm-hmm. who doesn't know you're there and he's got the ball, your mission is to chop or hit, or punch.
Yep.
But that ball needs to be and to the point where I think I've heard NFL defensive coaches who say if you make in those blindside situations now, if you make the sack but don't force a fumble, it's looked at like a missed opportunity mm-hmm. by the defense because you had a shot to separate quarterback from ball and you didn't do it. And Auburn's had, a couple times this year where you love the hit on the quarterback. I'll tell you my pet peeve lately from the defensive line coach. We talked about it a little bit this week. In this zone read sort of quarterback decides to give or take.
Right.
You love seeing guys chase after the running back and bring him down. He's got to have the ball.
Yeah,
he's got to have. I mean, there were a couple times where Auburn
crashed down,
laid out either the guy without the ball, the quarterback in the back.
Beautiful tackles.
Sometimes that is scheme. You have a guy that has the dive or the handoff,
right.
And a guy on the quarterback.
So if that's,
but I saw that last week, mm-hmm. we were killing the guy, but they were pulling it.
All right, we will get to our first break again. We're just underway, having a great time here at Bunkers, here in downtown Auburn, here on West Glen. Keith Jones, how you doing, man? We'll be back. Yellowhammer, hang on. You'll be up when we come back here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
This is Lee County Revenue.
7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we're coming to you from Bunkers here in downtown on West Glen. It is the ground floor of Uncommon. And I'll tell you what, we were just talking with Keith Jones and one of the things that, yes, he said, but I found amazing when I pulled in. I saw the sign that said Bunkers Parking, and I thought, oh, man, goodness, let me find, because, I mean, this is, there are people living up above here. There are apartments up above, and I'm thinking, boy, good luck in trying to find something, but there are plenty of places. Keith said there are 55 parking spots for Bunkers, and they are free. That's free parking for Bunkers customers.
That's unbelievable.
Here.
It's remarkable.
Yeah,
that's great. Free for customers, and you're not going to want to if you haven't been here, you definitely want to check out Bunkers NFL Thursday deals.
Extended happy hour on Thursday.
I mean, you can watch the games.
Imagine this. There are giant screens on either side of us here in this one little alcove
If you're not going to the game, this feels like one of the better spots in town to go watch one with the screens and the comfort level you got here and a top-notch menu. Again, thanks to Bud Light mm-hmm. for setting us up here here at Bunkers.
Yes, and as a result of that, we're a little bit behind, but we're very pleased that we have our regular Friday afternoon guest now joining us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and that is Barrett Salee. Barrett, man, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm great, guys. I was going to be heading to Tuscaloosa right now, but plans changed, so I will be heading there tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're going to be able to be there. That ought to be a heck of a ball game.
Did you weather the storm okay, Barrett? Is everything okay? I know parts of Atlanta affected by the last couple of days.
Yeah, we're okay, actually. Our power only went out for 10 minutes, and usually if the leaf falls on a power line, our power goes out for like 2 days. So we're good to go. We had a little bit of rain, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, we were extremely fortunate as well. So, hope everybody comes through this. Looking for great, more like mm-hmm. fall-type weather tomorrow for the big games. And that is the biggest, the one you're going to be heading to over in Tuscaloosa. I've been a little surprised that Georgia has held steady at about that two and a half point favorite throughout the week, as it just sort of seems like things seem to have pointed maybe more in Alabama's direction as far as favoring them along the way, but Georgia has held steady as the slight favorite.
Yeah, they have. I was a little surprised that it didn't move down a little bit more, but, you know, I think maybe there's this just assumption that Georgia is flawless. And look, they have flaws, but those are rich man's problems. But, you know, Tuscaloosa is going to be hopping. You can't discount what it's like to play there at night. I know Texas did well last year, but it's still a tough place to play. And if you're Alabama, you capitalize on that. And I think the offensive line, you know, it was banged up against USF. It got back to form against Wisconsin, and they had, you know, a full off week to tweak it. And, you know, I think folks forget, you know, yeah, teams improved during the bye week, but Alabama, you know, that's the first three games of Kalen DeBoer. They have a really good chance of, you know, making a drastic improvement because now they're all familiar with each other and what they're asked to do. So, yeah, I think Alabama gets the job done. You know, it to me, it's one of those things where maybe if this was played 3 weeks later, my opinion would be different. But right now, it's a bad matchup at a bad time for a Georgia team that can't run the football. And I don't think folks realize that they really cannot run the football. They have not been able to do that successfully consistently this year.
Barrett, there doesn't seem to be a ton of intrigue in who's going to win the Texas-Mississippi State game, Nor should there be, but I am curious as to what you think Texas is going to do moving forward, if you think there's a chance of Arch Manning usurping a healthy Quinn Ewers, or is this just like a clickbait sort of we're looking for interesting things to talk about with Texas because the games on the field have been not very competitive so far?
Oh, it's all clickbait. It's all Arch is not the starting quarterback. You know, there's more chance. It's more likely that my hair grows back than when Ewers gets beat out by Arch Manning. You know, I'm serious. Like, you know, it's funny in this day and age. If you write the words Arch Manning or Deion Sanders on the internet, I mean, the clicks just go nuts. Yep. And people want to say, "Oh, I don't really care about those." Yeah, you do. Yes, you do because you click on them. The SEO proves it. So, no, Arch Manning is not going to be the starting quarterback. He's okay. He's fine. But there's absolutely no shot that he beats out Quinn Ewers when Quinn Ewers is healthy. With that said, I don't really think they're going to need Quinn Ewers against Mississippi State. And then they get the bye week. And then I would imagine by Red River, you're going to see 100% Quinn Ewers, and they'll be off to the races.
Let's get your thoughts on the game here with Oklahoma coming in. Both teams, man, I look at Oklahoma's conference schedule, and this is one that Oklahoma has to win. And then we've been talking about it all week. Hugh Freeze is to show some improvement over last year as far as record-wise. This is an absolute must-win for Auburn. So, I mean, both teams really sort of, even though Oklahoma isn't in the same quite situation, but it's almost like a must-win for both of these teams here tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, and they're exactly the same too, right? Real good defenses and quarterback issues, offensive issues all over the place. So it's a must-win. I think I could kind of go back to a couple things for Oklahoma. There's no certainty anywhere on their offense. Like, their offensive line's been terrible all year. Now you have Michael Hawkins on the road. You have, like, basically every single wide receiver is hurt. So how are they going to move the football against an Auburn defense that has been playing really well, has kept them in games, even the ones they lost? And then on the flip side, you know, I had to kind of have a double take when I saw this stat. Auburn is sixth in the nation in yards per play. Like, that's unbelievable considering how the season has gone. And I think that's ultimately led to what Hugh Freeze said during the radio show on Monday night. But the turnovers are part of your DNA. You can't just ignore that. But I know what he's talking about. And so if you cut the turnovers down, Auburn's really, really good. Then I think you're going to see a much more conservative offense. You're going to see very simple concepts in the passing game. And obviously, you know, with Peyton Thorne being the starter again, it's going to be I think he's going to make sure that he – because, like, honestly, last week the interception wasn't on him. I mean, he threw it right in the hands of the receiver. So I think they'll be fine. I think it's just a horrible spot for Oklahoma considering the quarterback change, the injuries, and then the weaknesses that team has just to begin with. So, yeah, it's a must-win for both of them to calm down fan bases, and I think Auburn will get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Oklahoma's availability report, that when their top five receivers are out and and you've got a true freshman making his first and playing in his first road game, not only his first road start, but making his first
and a bad offensive line.
Yeah, that. Yes. Yeah, that stuff.
There's nothing to like about that offense right now.
No, there sure hasn't been yet. Yeah, you're right about that. But now,
other than that, how was the play?
But Barrett, you and I,
right, exactly.
We've all seen a freshman quarterback or two come into Auburn and play better than anybody ever expected. It may have been a minute or two, but it has happened.
It happens. It seems to happen in Auburn a lot more than other places.
Right. What do you think about the A&M Arkansas game? A&M a pretty solid favorite. I know they've owned this series. I guess they're 11-1 since both teams have been in the SEC.
Final game at Wally World.
Yeah,
after
I said that yesterday.
After 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just don't trust Arkansas. Kalen Green's okay. I mean, you guys got to see him up close last week, but there's not a ton to like about that offense all that much. I think A&M, you know, Connor Wigman got Wally tipped. He got Drew Bledsoe because there's no way he gets that job back. The offense seems to click after the quarterback change. And, you know, A&M's defense is so good. So, you know, I hate to, like, make an actual game. It's really weird in that series. It's like the Viper falling to let you. But I just... hard for me to pick A&M. I think things didn't start out right, but moving forward, they're starting to figure things out.
Not a ton of sexy ball games around the country. Not a lot of huge matchups outside the Georgia-Alabama game. But Louisville-Notre Dame is one that's interesting. I don't understand. I mean, I know, you know, it's at home, but I really don't understand why the Irish are favored.
Yeah, I don't either. Louisville's like the best team that nobody's seen. Like they're absolutely incredible on both sides of the ball. They can run effectively. They do not give up big plays. They're tops in the nation. You basically look at every defensive category. It's Georgia. It's Louisville, and they're both in some way, shape, or form at or near the top of basically everything that's meaningful. So if Notre Dame's having trouble moving the football, which they are, you know. The Wake Forest game notwithstanding, it's going to be hard for Riley Leonard. So, I think everyone loves to hate Notre Dame, but it seems like this is just sort of one of those things where people are assuming they're going to beat Louisville without realizing how good Louisville is. And afterwards, there's going to be a lot of folks mad at Marcus Freeman because I don't think they can get the job done.
All right, before we let you go, we got to talk a little baseball. This is wild coming into the last couple of games. And the weather has really made it crazy with the doubleheader now, if necessary, set for Monday. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the decision to hold Chris Sale until the Braves are either facing elimination or in the postseason.
I'm okay with it. You know, because Freed's going tonight, and I'm confident in what he can do. And then having TBA the next two days, you don't want to burn Sale if you don't need to. No. You also want to have him available for the wild card series. It's going to be a quick turnaround. So, you know, keeping Freed on somewhat normal rest, I'm totally cool with. And then figuring out as we go along based on what the situation dictates. Tell you what, though, Schwelly knows how to get it done. I have no problem trotting Schwelly out if we need to in a big spot because I was at that game, the first Mets game, and that dude's funny, man. I like the way they're doing it.
I was
You know.
Yeah, Barrett, I was wondering, I mean, you got Grant Holmes probably factoring in one of these games as at least the starter. You would think Uncle Charlie is going to start either Sunday or one of the doubleheader games. I think they're. I mean, they.
Yeah,
probably
you know,
like
I. I think it depends. It depends. To me, the doubleheader thing is interesting because they're not. If there's no need to play the second game, they're not going to play the second.
Right. They won't.
Right.
Play.
Like
if
that game. Yeah. So it's one of those things where okay, if you have to, if you're in a situation and you can clinch it without playing that second game, do you trot Holmes out? and do a bullpen deal? Or do you just try to end it and then figure it out if you have to play the second? You know, it's fascinating, and I ultimately think that's why they're leaving everything up in the air, because
yep.
Honestly, there's no blueprint for this, to be honest with you.
No, and I think that's a great point. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. If you've got a situation where you need one, then I sort of like the roll the dice, save the arm for the series, as opposed to the and if you had to have it, second game of the doubleheader. So I mean, we'll see.
It's going to be crazy.
The scoreboard watching this weekend is going to be great.
Yeah, I just hope that that we don't have to worry about the doubleheader and wrap things up somehow on Sunday. I don't think that's even statistically possible, but it would be nice if it was.
Well, you need the Brewers to sweep the Mets and the Padres to take two out of three from the Diamondbacks, and all the Braves have to just win the series. They're in.
Yeah.
Barrett, man, it's great talking to you here. Have a man, good. Good luck getting in tomorrow. I mean, I guess you're going to leave a little bit early because, I would imagine they'll be checking.
There's some Secret Service,
Barrett.
That's always fun to have Secret Service around. But it should be fun.
Oh yeah, well, man, appreciate you joining. And let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you're doing.
Yeah, college football smothered and covered. We have five shows a week, and then one wrap-up show on Saturday, so we'll be doing that from the field in Tuscaloosa. SiriusXM on Sunday mornings, and then Outkick columns pretty much daily, and we'll have a story after the Bama-Georgia game as well.
Sounds good, Barrett. Good luck this weekend. Have a great one.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, Barrett Salee joining us as he does Fridays here on The Drive. We're at Bunkers downtown here on West Glen, the ground floor of Uncommon. Stop by and join us. We'd love to see you here. If you can't make it out, give us a call. The Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on The Friday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we're coming to you from Bunkers downtown here on West Glen at the ground floor of Uncommon. And what a cool place this is. I mean, I love the layout, the size there is. We're right here next to the simulators. I had a group in here that was taking turns between golf swings and baseball swings.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's cool. And as Dan said, big goings on. I think it's on the other side. Here.
No, I got.
Okay, I was going to say I got one on this side. Tell them about again the chance to advance in a $10,000 putting contest coming up.
Yeah, 7 o'clock tonight. They got the championship of the Putt Your Way to 10K going on, presented Michelob Ultra and Bunkers is the host site for the championship round. So you're going to want to check that out as well as. You know, just going to be a busy night here downtown in Auburn, and you're looking for a place to drop in. This is
you can tell very it's a impressive big event. Home weekend. I mean, traffic is really, really. It's tough. So, give yourself a little extra time wherever you're headed, but should be a great crowd tomorrow for Auburn, Oklahoma. The weather looks perfect.
Good looking menu as well of handhelds. Some pizza, some tacos, different sandwiches, a lot of enticing appetizers as well. So yeah, come check out Bunkers. And again, big thanks to Bud Light for helping us set up here.
334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. 334-564-1840. Love to hear your thoughts on tomorrow's matchup. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise.
Coach, what's different about preparing for a quarterback making career start number one, or a mobile quarterback? You were talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah. You know, when you're worried about a guy who tends to keep things going with his legs. You know, it feels like you got to preach a different set of stuff to your front seven.
Yeah, the tough part is not having enough film on this guy.
Right.
I know we had the second half of the Tennessee game basically, so that's a concern. So you're really going to study that time he was in the game against Tennessee. Maybe even go back and look at some high school film, which is not going to help you a lot, but it may give you an idea. You know, does he like to go to his right? Does he like to go to his left? You know, right-handed, left-handed, all that kind of stuff. And again, when you have a mobile quarterback, you have to build a box around him. You can't be over-aggressive like we were talking earlier. You have to have a contained man at all times on both sides, and you have to have someone pushing the middle of the pocket. And again, if you can convince your guys that not everybody has to make a sack to be efficient and to affect the quarterback. You can get a hurry, you can get a batted ball, you can contain him and make him make a bad throw, switch his feet, whatever. Just make him uncomfortable. I would look for him to be very uncomfortable with our crowd and starting, and I hope we get after him early, and not necessarily blitz, but stem around, maybe give him some different looks that he's not used to.
What kind of stuff is a coach going to do knowing he has a freshman quarterback making career start number one? Do you feel like you try to simplify? Do you try to keep the playbook small and keep the reads quick and easy?
Yeah,
like, is that I'd be worried about overloading a guy.
Was always a believer in simpler. You know, the simplest it can be is the best. When you know what you're doing, you're going to be able to execute it a heck of a lot better at a full speed pace. When you're thinking in any sport, baseball, golf, basketball, when you have to stop and think, you're not going as fast as you can.
That was something, you know, Terry asked earlier in the week about why do coaches lean on the experienced option at quarterback instead of going to the young, potential-filled options that might be there down the bench. And I feel like the ability to process
you absolutely are going to have to go slower with an inexperienced guy.
The ability to process things quickly always struck me as that's one of the advantages of going with experience at the position versus somebody who's making career start number one or somebody in their first year of quarterbacking in college football.
Tomorrow, I think that Auburn can't just prepare. They can't just be preparing for Michael Hawkins.
No.
Because Oklahoma's just as liable to go back to Jackson Arnold. I mean, we've talked about Auburn's situation. Yeah. I think Peyton Thorne probably has a little longer leash tomorrow than Michael Hawkins would, the Oklahoma quarterback. He goes out – I mean, if it's a – if the game is pretty much a stalemate and Auburn doesn't do anything or isn't able to score points on a couple of possessions, I don't think you're liable to see a change. You might with Oklahoma if they go out and don't do anything on a couple of possessions just to see if they can get a little bit of a spark there.
Yeah, you're right, Bill, because their offense has been so stagnant. And, you know, they have to be concerned not only first road game here, SEC, hostile crowd, freshman quarterback, and their offense is not very good. So that's a lot of pressure.
I would agree. I would think that without knowing exactly how long the leash is, I would think Oklahoma has to be thinking, how long do you give, how many drives do you let Hawkins struggle
right
before you go back to the guy who spent all offseason as QB1, the guy who spent the last couple of games as QB1 before now. I would think
they were so excited about him coming into the season.
Yeah, I don't know how long that leash is. I don't know how many drives you would give. And if Hawkins plays well, it's a non-factor because he can take that question off the board. But if he doesn't play well, it resembles the questions we were asking about Hank Brown a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
If Hank Brown does not go out, you know, before the Arkansas game, we said if Hank doesn't play well, how long do you go with him in a close, winnable game before you make the change? Auburn makes the change at halftime to Peyton Thorne. I would guess it's still going to be Peyton Thorne going into this game tomorrow. But I think the question is there for Oklahoma. If Hawkins isn't getting it done, how long do you give him to provide a spark before you go back to the backup?
Let's get to the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Yellowhammer is up. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So anyway, back to your earlier discussion about quarterbacks, you know, we at Auburn have been hurt by mobile quarterbacks breaking containment on the corner. And I just wondered, is the old stand-in-the-pocket quarterback kind of obsolete? Mm-hmm. You pretty much got to have a dual guy.
You don't have to, but it's less common than it used to be, because just a quarterback who can do anything with his legs adds so much more pressure to the defense, Don.
Yeah, no doubt. When you have a running quarterback, it adds one more player, really one more than the defense can handle. I know that doesn't make sense because you have the same number. But, yeah, I think any coach nowadays would try to recruit a mobile quarterback. Not 100%, but probably 95%.
But it's still always been about
how good are you?
But ultimately, it comes down to, regardless of how you do it, are you making quick, correct decisions
right.
with the football? And if you're doing it as a passer without moving around too much, I'm sure there's a coach that'll find
if you can get the ball out quickly. Take a look at tomorrow's Georgia-Alabama game. Carson Beck is not a dual threat quarterback. He is a pro style drop back, stay in the pocket, and get rid of the ball quickly guy. Jalen Milroe is a tremendous athlete. Playing quarterback.
And I think the mistake that the trap people can fall into is believing that there's a way to overcome not being able to make quick, correct decisions with the ball. If you're a good enough athlete or if you're a good enough runner, you can conceal that, and you can't. Like that's the thing, that's the job. That's the whole job. And if you do it as a runner, if you do it as a more mobile, as a more stationary option, you figure out how to build the offense accordingly. But if you can't do it, then you're a big, impressive athlete who probably isn't going to be a quarterback for much longer.
True.
Well, if you're going to be a stand-back-there kind of guy, you better have a pretty good offensive line, too, I guess.
Or you better get rid of the ball really quickly. And you know what? You probably need a pretty good offensive line no matter what you're trying to do. If you're going to run, it's a lot easier to run when you have guys blocking for you.
Well, we didn't have very good success on our defenses dealing with some of these running quarterbacks, and I wondered what we might do there.
Well, I mean, the quarterbacks have given Auburn some problems, but it's not like Auburn still hasn't given up a lot of points there. I mean, actually, last week, the quarterback, Talen Green, last week did some things that he hadn't normally done. Auburn defended him the way that he'd been more prone to take the ball and run up the middle than he had ever been to go around and try to break containment. So Auburn defended him, especially early on, trying to guard the middle, and then he went outside them. Second half, I thought Auburn adjusted and made those adjustments. Like I was saying, this quarterback for Oklahoma isn't known as a big runner, but he's the kind of guy that you can't just let him be running around. You're going to have to see if you can pressure him and force him to go ahead and make some decisions.
What do you think of their offensive line?
It has really been a problem for them thus far. It was a concern. They had a completely new offensive line coming in this year. They've had a couple of guys injured. They really haven't been able to run the ball well. They really haven't protected well. They've given up quite a few sacks. So that has been one of their biggest concerns all year, and I think that's good news if you're the Auburn defense.
Well, I'm going to go put the firearm on Auburn then.
be careful. Don't blame us.
I'll keep a few acres.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds good, Yellowhammer. Hey, good hearing from you. All right, we will get to our final break here of hour number one. Love for you to join us either here at Bunkers on West Glen here in the ground floor of Uncommon or on the phone line 334-321-1390 on the Friday Drive.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika means Big Mike Steakhouse. Famous for high-quality steaks cooked to perfection on an open-fire grill served in a relaxed, rustic atmosphere. It's happy hour at Big Mike's every Wednesday and Thursday
with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn coming to you from Bunkers here downtown on West Glen, the ground floor of Uncommon, and plenty of parking here. When you pull in to Uncommon, it says Bunkers Parking, and I was shocked. I pulled in, and it's like, wow, there are a lot of spots that say Bunkers Parking, and it's free.
Very impressive menu, a lot of screens to watch the games, Thursday night specials for the NFL. They're open on Saturdays for game day. Come check out Bunkers if you haven't been, or if you haven't been in a while. Ground floor of Uncommon, like Bill said, plenty of parking. Tonight they got the Putt Your Way to 10K championship going on starting at 7 o'clock. In hour number two, we're going to talk with Haley Hall from Adams and Bud Light. She's going to be talking about the Putt Your Way to 10K championship going on at Bunkers tonight. But again, big thanks to Bud Light for having us here at Bunkers.
Oh, tonight. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, it's the first time I've been in here. I retired on campus right after they opened.
Right.
So I hadn't had a chance to be in here. This is really, really nice.
Very comfortable seating. You have, like, couches and
– oh, man. These,
beautiful building.
Very comfy couch that Don and I are on.
Yeah, I'll never get out.
Dan's got, like, a swivel glider there.
Recliner, swiveling recliner action here. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, this is really swanky for us. There's no doubt about it. Hour number two coming up, and we'll be right back. Love for you to stop in and join us if you can here at Bunkers with the Friday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what has turned out to be a really nice day. I hope everybody came through yesterday well. I mean, we really, it really was much lighter than anyone had expected here in this area. I mean, we got some rain overnight, but it wasn't anything, wasn't anything terrible. Didn't get the strong winds as Helene went a little further east and spared, east central Alabama. There are a lot of folks across and up northeast of us that have had a lot of damage with wind and rain and water as the surge where it came in, but it sort of came in, didn't come in nearly as densely populated area as had been expected. So that is very fortunate. We're very fortunate. But it's turned out to be a really nice day. Looked like the start of a beautiful weekend here in Auburn as the Tigers host the Oklahoma Sooners for the first time ever. These two teams have played twice. Oklahoma won both those meetings, both at the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. And I will admit, I was at both those games. And neither one of them were extremely enjoyable to watch. The 1971 Sugar Bowl, after Alabama and Auburn and Oklahoma and Nebraska. Oklahoma and Nebraska had played that game of the century where Johnny Rogers had an unbelievable punt return. They won 35-31, and Alabama knocked off Auburn and its Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Pat Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And the Bowls selected the teams before those games were played. I mean, so the Orange Bowl took Alabama and Nebraska, and Alabama and Nebraska won those two games, and it's like the Sugar Bowl was the runner-up bowl because those teams were 1, 2, 3, 4 in the polls going into their games.
It's something about college football that I've always sort of struggled with was I know that we've had imperfect systems for a while too, but like,
that one was like a playoff.
Yeah, I mean, just but the sort of loosey goosey nature of the college football postseason for a long time.
It somehow worked out most of the time.
It wasn't the end of the world if one poll had one champion and another poll had another.
Both claimed them. yeah. flew the flags.
Hey, exactly. And so, I mean, I guess that's where, you know, it turned into more where are you in the polls at the end of the regular season, and then you play a bowl game in, you know, to complement that regular season. And then the bowls started to matter towards who is going to be the national champion. I mean, I remember the 2016-2017 Auburn-Oklahoma game much more vividly, and that was a...
Well, I might remember it more vividly.
I mean, I remember Baker Mayfield running up and down the field having fun.
It was New Year's morning, so it would have been 72, not 71.
It was, yeah. You know, Baker was enjoying himself.
A lot of Sugar Bowls were played on New Year's Eve.
That's the year before Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman with Oklahoma in 17. Yeah. He's the Heisman winner, takes them to the college football playoff. In 16, he looks just unstoppable, you know, piloting that offense up and down the field.
Yep. Yeah, so this will be the first time these teams have played on campus. It's Oklahoma's first ever road game in SEC play. Sell out a ton of crimson and cream in town from Oklahoma. Their fans do travel well. I believe the full Oklahoma marching band is here. It's one of just two or three times they can go on the road, and obviously this in their first ever SEC road game. They're going to be here as well. So,
do they bring the wagon and the horse?
The Sooner Schooner?
Have you ever been to Norman for a game?
Yes, Texas Tech. And we won.
Oh!
And that's unheard of. And it was a delayed lightning, probably three hours. And sometimes those help you if you're the visiting team.
Am I getting my – were you? Did you and Baker cross paths at Texas Tech? Would he have been –
Well,
it,
that was –
That would have been maybe a year or two later?
That was 20 – I was there 10 – 11 and 12, 2010.
I think Mayfield might have walked on a year or two later
at
Texas Tech and then finished his career.
We went there and upset them, but it was I think the game took 6-7 hours.
Wow.
And there was nobody left.
Mahomes shows up a year after your –
Yeah, I didn't play against him. Yeah.
Or no, he would have been there in the
– Right.
Yeah, he would have been there in the –
Yeah.
But I think he shows up in 13 or 14.
Right.
So that checks out too. But still, I mean that was always one of the toughest places for a Big 12 team to go in and pick up a win.
It was a neat place, no doubt. A lot of tradition. And
I don't know how much of it was the atmosphere and how much of it was the you know the aura of Norman and how much of it was that for most of those years with Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley, they had a way better team. Than pretty much
than anybody else in the league.
Hard to win in Norman because they had a way better team than just about anybody else in the conference.
The old Kentucky Derby story.
Oh, yeah, no, they had the horses?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was
No donkeys ever won the Kentucky Derby. My grandfather told me that all his life.
Yeah, and they had a team, thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And he didn't say donkey. He said the other word.
Right.
Jack. Yeah.
Anyway, it should be a lot of fun tomorrow. It is a critical ball game for both teams. Auburn wrapping up its five-game homestand to start the season. Most people feeling that Auburn, you know, would come out of this at least 4-1. And now Auburn the best they can do is 3-2 if they win tomorrow. And Oklahoma, a slight favorite here in the ball game tomorrow. But the Sooners come in, trying to avoid going 0-2 in conference play.
Yep.
And they are staring down quite the gauntlet of SEC opponents down the stretch. So this is a huge ball game for both teams, or it stands the chance of being a very disappointing season.
Yeah, I keep going back to turnovers. We got to win the turnover battle. I think we'll be fine if we can control the ball.
If Auburn could just be even in the turnover battle, you'd feel like that's a
we got
big
a chance,
step
a
forward.
Big chance.
You know, Coach, we talked about it yesterday with Justin Ferguson. You know, people have mentioned that Auburn struggled on third down, especially third and long against Arkansas. It's not as though it was one thing that kept failing Auburn on those third and longs. It wasn't as though Auburn did everything right and the coverage kept breaking down. Or Auburn did everything right, but the pass rush didn't get there. Auburn did everything right, but the quarterback was able to escape the pocket and create some yards with his legs. It was everything. It was a buffet. And it seemed like always
something.
And that's got to be it's got to wear on a defense because you get so close over and over again to ending a drive, only to have the team do something low percentage and reset things. it's I mean, and maybe you can just chalk it up to a bad day, you know, when it's all those different things. But boy, does Auburn need to get that fixed.
Right. Yeah. As a coach, you think, why is this happening every time, or why does it snowball? And like you said, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you just have a bad day, but you only get to have 11 days, so you can't have a bad day. I mean, it's just unfortunate. There's so much pressure. And when you don't succeed, you start thinking about those things. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to go out and play. And that's so easy to say. Go out, relax, play, do your job. You guys mentioned maybe cut some things out of the offense, cut some things out of the defense, and just go. I would like to see us go faster on offense like we used to, like Coach Freeze is known for. And that could be because of the quarterback. I don't know.
I wonder if it's because of the quarterback. I wonder about the new helmet communications thing. And it doesn't seem that any teams are going as fast as they had, and it's probably because the head coach has the option or the opportunity to be talking to the quarterback.
Bill, I thought the same thing last week. I said, these guys are getting all this information, but they're kind of like they're not going.
Well, it may be like you've got too much information.
Exactly.
I mean, instead of, all right, here's what we have, and you're getting in there and want to go quick, it's like, oh, I've got the opportunity. I've seen this, or the box is telling me that.
Mm-hmm. I heard Mike Martz talk once about the value of an offense with no audibles,
because
that was always something the greatest show on turf, the Vermeil Mike Martz Rams.
Yeah.
They would go up the line with no audibles, and sometimes – sometimes I get the quarterback killed.
Yeah.
Like sometimes Kurt Warner or Mark Bulger got destroyed because they went up there with no audibles and the defense had the exact right call. Sometimes it played to their advantage that they went right up to the line of scrimmage and they called that play. And the quarterback, the quarterback had the option to call timeout if you thought the play was doomed at the line. But that was it. That was the one move.
Right.
And I do wonder if that's a if at times you move towards that offense as a way to simplify things rather than let's put responsibility on the quarterback to do a head count and decide run pass, what's the percentage, like what's the higher percentage move in the moment. Maybe you get up there and you run the play that Ken Austin and Hugh Freeze thought, early in that clock, was the right play for the moment.
Well, I think they're still learning this thing. I mean, it's still learning exactly how to handle the communication. So, that's a thought. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on the ball game tomorrow, anything going on around the country in any sport, and you can do so by calling The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. A lot of people in town tonight, a lot of people filing in. Coach, you were telling us you think this is going to be one of the busier weekends in Auburn this season. There are a couple of factors leading in that have you believing that this could be a very busy week, and the smoker's going to be busy tonight.
Yeah. I hope they've got it on right now. I've already texted them earlier before I came on the show, make sure they have all the Boston butts on, because it takes time to cook them.
Well, I mean, look at Auburn's schedule and tell me a game that appeared more attractive than this in the preseason or even does right now.
Yeah.
Texas A&M is probably the next biggest ball game, and that, I mean, right now, you're wondering – you know, what kind of shape are both those teams going to be in by the time that game's played?
Is Arkansas going to win tomorrow?
I
just don't know what A&M is.
I don't either.
They stomped Florida.
I think they're really good defensively.
They're really good defensively.
I don't know that Taylen Green's got to throw the ball better than he did last week. I think to beat A&M. Yeah. So, I mean, that to me is the key in that ball game.
I wonder if A&M finds themselves in a close game. Did they trust their offense enough? Wegman is, I mean, he really struggled in the second half of the Notre Dame game.
Well, I think Barrett said it a little early when we had Barrett Salee on. I'd be surprised. It looks like he's lost the job.
Yep.
I mean, we've already seen a few teams having to go with their, you know, Auburn's not the only team that has had to check out a second option at quarterback.
Barrett didn't pick up on the Wally World thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But
you're never going to let me forget.
No, it was funny. It was funny in the moment, but
I didn't even realize I said.
I'll let it.
Mentioned that yesterday, so oh well.
Hey. You know what, Pascal with the dynamite moose line.
Oh yes,
had it ready to go.
Yeah, that guy's funny.
He's the best. And again, Coach, sorry about all the painful memories.
Oh yeah, I text you guys, but I didn't hear anything. Donna looked at me and I said, "Oh God,
yeah,
I got a text from another guy on Saturday after our game with Arkansas. Said Fred Talley just ran by your window again. Don Dunn. I said, "Don't ever say that again."
I don't think that's ever going away. That's never going to stop. Hey, reminder: hour number two of the drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. Again, we're coming to you from Bunkers here on West Glen downtown. The ground floor of Uncommon, and this is a
unbelievable. Man,
it's a great place. I love it. I mean,
it's nice.
Great layout. It feels it is extremely. I mean, there's a ton of space. It feels huge.
Yeah, it's roomy. I love what they've done with the space. The lights are great.
There's a TV everywhere you look.
Screens everywhere. Nice big windows here. You can see Glen Avenue. I mean, it's definitely worth a visit. Tonight they got the Putt Your Way to 10K Championship going on. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. But 7 o'clock, you're going to want to be here tonight. Bunkers, it's a really cool spot. Happy to be here.
Yep. Love for you to join in. We'll go ahead and get to our first break of hour number two. Again, the number 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Experience leader ESPN 1067.
Welcome back in to the Friday edition of the Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here at Bunkers on West Glen in downtown, and we're having a great time here. What a great place this is. Got the golf and baseball batting simulators right around the corner from where we are, but it's a huge area with a couple of bars, and they've got a great menu as well. Stop on in if you get a chance. We'd love to see you before the end of the show. Don's going to be with us for one more segment,
right?
Because you've got some work to do.
Coming on.
Well, you've got some serious work to do.
Yep. Yep.
With all the people that are in town for this big ball game tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, we're excited. And like I said, Bill, there's a lot of TVs here, too. I've never seen so many televisions set up with every sports network in the country.
Oh, this would be a great spot for, like, if you're going to watch a road game if they've got multiple games going on.
Or during basketball season, the tournaments.
Oh, you're not kidding. Any road games?
Yeah, it's awesome.
If you can't make it out here, we'd love for you to join us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Give us your thoughts on tomorrow. We do know, I mean, it's been reported this afternoon, Peyton Thorne, as expected, will get the start for the Tigers tomorrow. That's no big surprise.
Coach, we had Jason Caldwell on on Wednesday. He said something we'd heard a couple other people off the air suggest this about the game that the game that Hank played on Saturday. Seemed like one problem was looking at guys before throwing to them, and that's something the defense can pick up on, especially.
Yeah, you know, the only thing is that would have had to been an in-game adjustment that they noticed that, because I don't think they had a lot of film on him, a little bit. But, yeah, you can sometimes when you're young, you don't even know you're doing something like that.
Right.
You just come up and you look. And, you know, your best quarterbacks look all over the place. And that's why I think against a young quarterback, like we talked, you have to disguise and move around pre-snap. You can't just get up there and set in a defense. Not nowadays. They're too smart or too good. Coaching's too good.
If Auburn goes to Hank Brown tomorrow, I mean, it would suggest things have probably gone awry.
Probably not going too well.
But it also, you know, I think that the experience he's been able to gain – the last couple of games will probably serve him.
Oh yeah,
you know he'll be better off than he would have been, you know, coming in completely cold.
Yeah,
it does feel like, at least in the short term, at the moment.
Right, no doubt.
You get a little bit more out of the offensive.
No doubt. If I'm the coach and I have to sub him back in, I feel a lot better that he did start last week than not playing at all this year.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the drive hotline, and Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Coach Dunn there. I'd like to talk a little barbecue with him before he steps out to the smoker.
Okay.
Well, I'll just tell you what I got set up for the big Oklahoma weekend. Put my Boston butt in a brine on Thursday morning, and then I pulled it out this morning and put a rub on it. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to throw it on the grill, my kettle grill, and I've got my charcoal snake set up, and I'm going to use apple wood and smoke it until it gets to about 170 degrees, wrap it in foil, and get it up to 200.
Okay.
And then pull it off and let it rest for an hour and a half.
That sounds great. You got the recipe. Wrap it in a towel, put it in the foil, and then wrap a towel around it and put it in a styrofoam cooler, and it'll be falling off the bone.
What kind of temps are you trying to get
just
it to?
That's what he said.
All right.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, I didn't think about that. I've got coolers, and I can wrap it in a towel. I'm going to try that, Coach. That sounds good.
All right, now if it doesn't work, don't come kill me.
I've got confidence in Don.
Longer than I have.
All right, well, good luck. I'm just doing some chicken wings at the house tomorrow.
I understand.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Great stuff.
Anything else, Mitch?
Good stuff, Mitch.
That's it.
334. All right, appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good weekend. 334-321-1390. Well, I mean, they call for pointers from the master.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, right.
It is what it is. Burn it up.
Donna, before you go, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Georgia-Alabama game tomorrow. Ooh, in Tuscaloosa as well.
I tell you what, I think Alabama will win. It's hard to go against them at home.
Yep, at night.
At night, their quarterback, I think, special. Alabama's quarterback. But, again, you know, I'm going to say Alabama.
I mean, it's funny because, I mean, like I've said a couple of times, it seems like things should be pointing toward Alabama, but the line has stayed Georgia slight favorite all week. So that just – what that tells me is Georgia fans are confident that their team's going to be what they've expected, but Georgia hasn't had that much success against the Tide.
It's not the sexiest matchup of you know, potentially, but I think Georgia might have a huge advantage defensive line versus Bama's offensive line, and that could really play, you know, that can sometimes trump having an advantage at receiver, having a, you know, a flashier quarterback. Mm-hmm. If Georgia's able to just consistently
Georgia wins the trenches,
yeah,
then they should win the ball game, you would think. But
and I would imagine people betting Georgia as a slight favorite believe Georgia's going to win consistently in the trenches tomorrow against Alabama.
That's a game following the Auburn game on ABC there. I mean, that's one of the bigger matchups that you're going to have. I mean, it's 2-4 tomorrow. And Georgia, of course, just fell out of the top spot after that close call against Kentucky. And both teams coming in off open dates.
Yes, that's true.
All right, and then and then of course the Auburn Oklahoma game that we've been talking about. I mean, so many things. You've said it. I mean, it sounds so simple. Cut down on the turnovers.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes there's some teams that just turn the ball over.
Right. Right.
But they're going to have to try to do some things to try to at least avoid, you know, make it easier to turn the ball over.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. And I think we'll win. I think we're a better football team all around, and cut out just a few of the turnovers.
Auburn's been close. I mean, here's the thing, and again, no moral
horrible
victories.
Right.
I'm not into that.
No, by any means. Right.
But Auburn, as Barrett said, he was surprised when he saw that. I mean, Auburn is among the top teams nationally in yards per play, yards per rushing attempt, yards per pass completion.
Yes.
The problem is they haven't run that many plays because They've turned the ball over, and at times they've struggled to get teams off the field on third down.
Exactly, exactly. That third down we talked about early in the season, third down turnovers. And then last week, time of possession. So you're exactly right. But I feel like we'll have a good day tomorrow.
Well, hopefully so. Let's see. Texas score more touchdowns than turnovers and we win. Well, that's a good point. Auburn has only scored two touchdowns in its two losses.
And they've had
five turnovers in both those games.
And we need to get some turnovers, more than we have.
Yep. Of course, now Oklahoma comes in leading the SEC in turnover margin.
Yes.
And they get a lot of theirs.
Zero turnovers, one touchdown, you might not win.
You're going to need,
but Tex for the most part is right. I think it is imperative. And fumbles to me, Coach,
yeah,
feel like that can change wildly game to game. You want to preach discipline.
Well,
if you have a player who's fumbling.
Look at last week. We're running in the end zone.
Right.
That kills you. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have that
6 points of pressure.
Got to have that ball tucked away. There you go, coach.
And the one pressure.
No chicken wing.
Right, and the one pressure is against your body with the elbow.
Coach, you're going to cook some wings tomorrow. You don't want to see any
from Auburn players.
You don't want to see the running back.
I won't say what happened in my house when I saw that happen.
some cleanup was required on aisle 2.
Yeah.
No, but it is interceptions feel like the one that, I mean, that's the huge setback, because when you start to build some momentum,
best way to avoid interceptions is to not throw the ball as much.
But you're going to need to throw it, and you're going to need to be productive when
but
you throw it.
But I'd still be surprised if we see a ratio the way we did last week, where Auburn only called runs on fewer than a third of their plays.
Right. Like Woody Hayes, what did he say? Don't throw it. Only one good thing can happen.
Two bad things.
Yeah, that's right. Three things can happen. Two of them are bad.
And both Cal and Arkansas, it felt like there were moments where everything was on the quarterback. You know, you had the running back sort of disconnected from the game plan, and that can't happen. Auburn has too much talent in that room to veer away from those guys, unless you're having a lot of success throwing the football. You really need those guys involved.
Right. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break.
Coach,
Don, thanks so much. We really enjoy you spending time with us on Fridays. No, it's crazy today.
I know, but I enjoy it, and it's great to see you guys. And what a great place this is. I will come back, I promise.
Sounds good. Well, we will see you
next
if
week.
Not before, yeah, next okay. next Friday.
Might pop in, pay a visit to you tonight, All Coach. Right. It should be a busy one for both of us.
Yeah, okay, I got a feeling.
Be safe. Thank you.
All right, take care. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in the final half hour of the Friday Drive from Bunkers.
Knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly specials and exclusive offers. Russell Building Supply, East University in Auburn, across from Cary Creek Publix.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Before every Auburn home game this season, check out the home plate tailgate in the parking lot of Plainsman Park, presented by Bud Light. Free of charge and open to the public, they'll have live music, college football action on TV, fun games, and they're selling ice-cold Bud Light. See if you can toss away the opposition and win a VIP tailgate experience in the cornhole competition.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. It is the Friday edition, special Friday show, as we're coming to you live from Bunkers here in downtown Auburn on West Glen, the ground floor of Uncommon. And Dan and I are here. Our thanks to Coach Don Dunn. He's got to go get busy with his other job, taking care of, goodness, thousands probably of folks that are coming in town for the Auburn-Oklahoma game. We got a couple of special guests with us here for this next segment, though, Dan.
Yeah, and I've known Haley for a while. Our pal Haley Hall here from Bud Light.
Hey.
We're going to talk about the home plate tailgate going on campus tomorrow. It's going on for every Auburn home game.
Every single one.
That's right. And then sitting beside me, I mean, is I've known Keith Jones for a long time. Keith is here with Bunkers. I did not realize that, Keith. Like I said, I retired about the time that you guys were from campus, about the time you guys were opening. I had no idea the extent of what you've got here.
I thought about retiring, Bill.
Let's get a little there.
I really thought about retiring, Bill, but instead I decided to open a bar. And no, it's been great. We thank you for saying that. We're really excited to be in downtown Auburn area, and we've been open about 8 or 10 months now, not quite a year, and it's been phenomenal. And of course, we get to work with people like Haley Hall from Bud Light, Adams Beverage, and it's so we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of things, and this really should be the, if you haven't been here, it should be your place to go for football. We got a lot of TVs. Really good food, and got parking underneath the parking deck, 55 spots,
which is amazing here downtown.
It's really amazing. We have more spots, I think, than probably anybody downtown. And so come, free parking, great drinks, great food menu. Of course, we have 6 golf simulators, and we're really excited to be in downtown Auburn. And thank y'all for coming.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And thanks to Haley and Bud Light for helping put all this together. But no, we've been meaning to come here for a while, and it's a really, really impressive spot that you have here in downtown Auburn, very close to Toomer's Corner. And like you said, with a couple of road games coming up, like
a great place to come before or after a ball game as well. I mean, it is a short walk. Hey, you're going to be parking. You may end up parking a lot further away than here, you know, when you're headed to ball games. So, I mean, I love it. I mean, there's not a place in here that I've walked around where you can't see a screen, too.
Well, we tried to put a lot of TVs up. I don't know how many. I told somebody we got 3.2 million TVs in here. It's probably not quite that many, but we do have 30 or 40 TVs. And so everywhere you go from in every simulator and every spot that you can sit at the bar and all, you can see a TV. And we try to accommodate the people on what they would like to watch. You know, of course, you got to be a little sensitive in that, you know, that if somebody's watching it already, you can't just change it. But we have a lot of options, and we have Thursday night football, you know, in the NFL and the different college games. And I came in earlier and enjoyed the president. Well, I really didn't enjoy the President's Cup today because the international team beat us really, really bad. But I watched that, and along with the SEC network and all that. So, but again, thank y'all. Thank you for coming, and thank y'all for coming down here and seeing what all we do here.
Our pleasure, no question.
If folks haven't come out here, if they haven't been here in a while, so much cool stuff going on, including tonight. You've got your putt your way to 10K.
We have our championship rounds of our putt your way to 10K. So over the last couple of weeks, we've had competitors go head to head, and now it's our final four. They're battling it out here for a chance to win a trip to Orlando, Florida, all expense paid, where they will battle it out against everyone else around the country for a chance to win $10,000. This is sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Amazing, amazing brand. Everybody knows what Michelob Ultra is.
You've been doing stuff all week around different locations around town.
And we've done it. Started at Plaza, went to Moe's, Bent Creek, and then traveled down to 1716 in Southeastern. People were really excited about it, and we have our final four. Someone from Auburn will be going to Orlando to represent the city.
Good luck to the competitors tonight. And we also mentioned tomorrow, before the Oklahoma game, home plate tailgate going on.
Yeah. It's a home plate tailgate's huge. So it's a tailgate right outside of Plainsman Park. We take up the entire parking lot, the players and coaches parking lot of Plainsman Park. There's great music. There's food trucks around. You get front row access to Tiger Walk and the band going into the stadium. It's right there. We have cornhole competitions, which is amazing. If you win our cornhole competition for the following home game, you actually get a VIP tailgate for 8.
Wow.
Plus a parking deck parking pass in the Jordan Air parking deck. Plus all you can drink delicious ice cold Bud Light. So it's a great place to be. The atmosphere is alive.
I can't believe some folks that I know haven't been taking advantage.
A lot of people are going to be. I mean, not just for Tiger Walk tomorrow, but also with SEC Nation bringing the show.
SEC Nation will be at the front end of Tiger Walk. We're going to be at the back end of Tiger Walk. Wherever you go, there's going to be great vibes.
Yeah, if you have not stopped into the Bud Light home plate tailgate, you know, check that out tomorrow in front of Plainsman Park. You're doing it for every home game. This is your last chance for about a month to check out the home plate tailgate before Vanderbilt, the next Auburn home game. But tomorrow should be a really busy pregame, and I hope a lot of folks go and check out the Bud Light tailgate. A lot of cool stuff you got.
I think
going
they will
there.
If you run into Haley Hall. I'll get you a free Bud Light.
Yeah. Hey, Bill Cameron has known me for 30 years. He knows that when I wake up on Saturday morning, the thing that I'm most excited about is the Bud Light tailgate. I go by there every week.
I see him running by. He comes to see me.
It's phenomenal every week, and I'm excited tomorrow to go down there. And Haley and her team do a really good job. So if you haven't done that, it's spectacular.
Keith, I mean, you've watched your fair share of Auburn football. Can I ask
how Keith is Auburn through and through? He is not just a supporter. I mean, he is really a strong. I mean, has been there at the forefront, really, of folks that support Auburn with On to Victory and everything. Talking about Auburn supporters. Keith Jones is a name you're going to know.
If ever there was someone whose allegiance isn't going to be questioned
no
in this
doubt
sort of situation.
It.
That said, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
Well, I'm always the optimist. You know, every August, you know, before we start the football season, I dream that we're going to win the national championship. It don't matter if, you know.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I'm that guy. I have the – and so – today we had our On to Victory luncheon and had a great turnout. And Coach Hugh Free spoke, and Coach John Cohen, our athletic director, spoke. And they got me fired up all over again. They've got me convinced that, you know, we by all rights, and I agree, we should be 4-0. But we've got pieces in place, and we're going to get better, and we're going to get there. So. Again, I'm gonna put on my orange and blue glasses, and I'm gonna say that we're gonna beat Oklahoma pretty soundly, and we're gonna go on and get better and better each and every week going forward.
Well, that's the plan, and I'm with you, Keith. I mean, I really do. I feel better about this week than I did last week. I didn't feel comfortable last week going into the Arkansas game. Maybe because we've had experiences through the years with Arkansas that haven't been so wonderful, but I feel pretty good about this one. So I hope we're right.
I hope we're right too. We need to be right.
Absolutely excited
also that, because I mean, this feels like a big weekend. I think the Oklahoma fans that come to Auburn are going to see, like with Penn State a couple of years ago, like this game has felt like an event since it was announced on the schedule. You've had the feeling that tens of thousands of Oklahoma fans are going to make their first ever trip to Auburn, plus a lot of Auburn fans that maybe skip the occasional game. This one feels like a mandatory attendance kind of weekend. And really happy that we could kick it off here at Bunkers and help you guys commemorate the weekend. And again, thanks to Bud Light for helping us set that up.
Hey. Yeah, we're super excited. Also, don't forget it's an orange out, so wear your orange.
That is right. That is right. And I was going to say, Keith, you probably wouldn't turn away any Crimson and Cream today.
Look, I was just telling my staff before I walked down here. I got here just after lunch, and you know, you can rent the simulators for an hour or two
sure.
or whatever. And we've had as many people today from Oklahoma.
Oh, that's great.
You know, so we've got and I got some friends in from Oklahoma that are sitting at the bar right now. But kudos to Oklahoma. They have, and I know never been here, but they travel.
Yeah.
They travel well. They got a lot of people. If you walk downtown, you're going to see a lot of Crimson and Cream or whatever color they call it. But look, still tomorrow, we need to orange out and find a way to win the game.
Let's button it up.
Sounds good. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon again. Our thanks, Haley, Keith. We're having a blast here. And,
yeah, thank you guys so much for having us.
We're glad we could be here.
No, thank y'all. Thank y'all.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we head to the final break here on the Friday Drive from Bunkers.
If you truly...
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Friday Drive. And we've been having a great time here at Bunkers. On West Glen here in downtown Auburn, it is the ground floor of Uncommon. And when you're coming down Glen, if you're headed west on Glen from college,
pull behind the curtain a little bit, Bill. Like when we showed Bunkers, you'd heard of it. You hadn't been inside.
I'd heard of it. I had not been inside. And when I pulled in, when I first came, I'm coming west on Glen, and I saw the arrow that said Bunkers Parking, and I'm thinking, well, this is going to residence parking, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm lucky if there's three or four spots. And I pulled in, and it's like, wow, here's one. Oh, and there's a whole section, as Keith was telling us, as we've been talking, over 50 spots.
Yeah, they've got their own, you know, they've got their own level virtually for Bunkers
basically.
Parking.
I mean, it's right when you pull in.
Here at Uncommon.
You just go straight and you pull right in and it's great. And I stepped in and I went, well, which one of these is Bunk? Oh, and it's like, oh, it's this one and the next one and the next. Multiple entrances.
Mick Ultra, putt your way to 10K championship tonight. That's getting started at 7:00. They're already setting that up right in front of us. Again, thanks to Haley Hall from Adams for helping set up our broadcast today at Bunkers, and Bud Light's going to be not only sponsoring our show, but Bud Light's also going to be putting us on location a couple of times over the next couple of weeks. We're going to try to be downtown somewhere for tip off at Tumors.
Yeah, that would be great.
Courtesy of our friends at Bud Light. Could also Live on the Plains is happening in October. Could be somewhere in partnership with Bud Light.
Good.
For Live on the Plains. Not a lot of home games in October, so we're
going
to move
around. No,
none
as far as football is concerned.
But we'll find some stuff to promote along with our friends at Bud Light. And again, if you have not checked out Bunkers before, really, really cool spot here in town. Haven't talked too much about the menu, but a full menu of appetizers, burgers, pizza, wings, tacos, a lot of traditional fare. They do it all really well. Here at Bunkers.
Yeah, well, I've heard nothing but good things about it. Just hadn't been down here yet, so
great.
We'll definitely be back.
Great to talk with Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Too, man.
When I saw him, I was thinking, oh, did he, is he stopping over to say hello? And then I saw him cleaning up a countertop, and I went, oh, no, this is Keith. Keith has more interest than that.
A beautiful spot. And you know what? A little bit removed from some of the busiest spots in downtown. So if you're thinking maybe something a little bit different,
then yeah, if you've got a group, we see it. There's a birthday party going on.
Oh,
right
I mean, oh, it's a perfect spot for a slightly large. And you know how trying to go out as a group to get something to
tough.
Eat,
yeah,
can
really,
be
really
tough. This is a perfect spot for a couple of people to grab some food and relax. While enjoying a night out or a weekend out in Auburn.
Oh, absolutely. So we highly recommend it. But, again, yeah, we really appreciate the opportunity of being here. Now, to tomorrow, all right, let's talk about the other games. We've mentioned them. Georgia-Alabama. I still have a hard time imagining Georgia's going to go into Tuscaloosa and come out with a win. Although, as we were talking a little while ago, I mean, if Georgia wins the line of scrimmage, if they win the trenches, that's a huge advantage. But Jalen Milroe is such an X factor at quarterback, and he is playing better than he's ever played. He looks like he's really flourishing thus far under Kalen DeBoer's offense.
Oh, certainly. I think that the reason to like Georgia would be if you think that Carson Beck's going to avoid mistakes on the road, and the Georgia front seven is going to be able to do enough to constantly disrupt what Alabama's trying to do offensively. I'm thinking Bama wins a low-scoring game. To be honest, if the game were in Athens, I'd probably pick Georgia.
I would. Like, I would, too.
I think it's that kind of close. I don't think it's based on a belief that one of these teams is a lot better than the other. I think if these teams played again in the SEC championship game at the end of the season. I don't necessarily think it would be a repeat of what you see tomorrow. But the game being in Tuscaloosa, I think Bama might have the edge, and I would give them a I'd give them a slight nod at home against Georgia.
Yeah, I think it will be. It's what ABC's hoping for, is that they get, you know, one of those, you know, just
buzzer beater
powerhouse. Yeah. Tight ball game.
Goal, you know, a game that ends on a goal line stand, or a game that ends on a last second field goal, or something in that neighborhood. You know, is, I'm sure what ABC's hoping for, and what college football fans tuning in, when you get a top five matchup this early in the season, that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, so I mean that's obviously the marquee game. We mentioned, I mean, Texas should. Score against Mississippi State.
A&M Arkansas is a really interesting one, Bill. A&M Arkansas.
It really is.
A&M Arkansas is a game where Arkansas, having picked up a little bit of momentum with a road win over a team that beat them soundly last year, like Auburn. Now they've got a chance to string a couple of conference games together and a couple of conference wins together and beat a team they seldom beat since this series started. In Arlington, and you know, which I mean, the series itself predates A&M joining the SEC.
Oh yeah, it goes way back to their Southwest Conference days, where Arkansas back in the day. I mean, Arkansas had the advantage over Texas A&M. Texas A&M's 11-1.
15th time they've played in Arlington since joining the SEC. A&M has won 11 of the 12 meetings. I would think A&M's got the better roster, but Arkansas playing with some confidence. I'm going A&M close at the end, but I would I'd love to see. I'd love to see Arkansas pull off another fluke, right? Another game where the other team probably wins more often, but Arkansas wins the time it matters.
It'd been some great games in there, but yeah, I think this was. I don't know really what Texas A&M has. We saw Arkansas last week. They're better than they were a year ago, but I still think they've got to get better quarterback play. But we don't know what kind of quarterback play you're going to get from A&M. So you've got that one. And then Kentucky Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a 17, 18-point favorite. I mean, they have been rolling. They haven't really played anybody. This will be the best defense they've played.
Want to see what it looks like if Ole Miss faces some friction, some resistance. But you're right. They look to be considerably better than Kentucky. They look to be considerably better than everyone on their schedule so far. Doesn't seem like that's going to change tomorrow. And just a –